Special thanks to my patrons. If you wish to support this channel, please subscribe on the link down below. Let's begin. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, whatever it is the time that you're listening to me right now. I'm your host Solano. I am very happy to be back. I took a little sabbatical of 4 months. I am sorry for the absence, but you know, I had to do some traveling if I am to have some content. And you know, a little bit of comedy, open mics, stuff like that. It's going to be coming out, and I'm hoping you're going to stay for that. I really do. But as a matter of fact, today the topic we're covering is something quite funny that happened, let's say it, in Twitter, in Mexico Twitter and USA Twitter. It was something of a discussion. I don't know how to explain it correctly. So I wanted to give my opinion on it, but since I believe it's a very complicated topic, we're gonna be doing it in a podcast way, like right now. I'm gonna be looking down a little bit from time to time because I need to check my notes, so bear with me. Please do not get angry at that. I am trying to get better equipment and better everything for this podcast to keep on getting, you know, better and better, and for the content to be just as entertaining as you want it. So please bear with me. I'm just gonna be watching again. I'm just gonna be looking down a little bit from time to time. So let's begin. So what happened? What happened was this. A girl, an American girl, tweeted this. It's a tweet which explains her feelings about living and working, having a, you know, working remotely in Mexico. Her name is Rebecca Sherman, if I remember correctly. And, well, her tweet, as innocent as you might see it, sparked a whole lot of conflict in Mexico Twitter, let's call it like that. The answers, the comments, the reposts, the hashtag, everything was just destructive, man. I don't know how to explain it in a better way. It was amazing, the answer that this got. And most of the comments, as you can see, they are all based on one simple fact. Mexicans do not want more remote workers to gentrify their neighborhoods. That is basically the whole gist of it. The problem was that this girl was saying that Mexico is a magical place for you to come and work remotely, but let's say she forgot a little bit that, well, that can cause gentrification. In a second tweet that she put, in the same tweet that I already showed you, says something about she being aware of what that is and she being against it, yet not doing anything about it. So you can see the contradiction here. Now, I'm not gonna take sides. I'm first gonna explain everything that this tweet involves, and then after that, at the end, I'm gonna be giving my opinion on what I believe it's a suitable solution. Obviously, the idea of this is to spark a little bit of a conversation, a debate. I'm hoping civil enough for everyone to, you know, get their own perspective on this. So with that being said, that means that my solution is by no means the magic solution to gentrification or to the problem of remote workers coming to Mexico City. Not by a long shot. This is just a little comment that I have on the matter, on what's happening. So first of all, I gotta explain to you, well, let's say, what Mexico City is. Mexico City is one of the most populated cities in the world. I believe it's number five at this point, with around 30 million people living in the same place. Now, this is there's two sides to Mexico City. There's Mexico City and there's the Estado de Mexico, which is technically a province within Mexico. But because of their connection and their closeness, let's say like that, most times when the census is made, it is concocted into one counting. They say that it's Mexico City that has 30 million. Technically it's not, but that's a debate for a whole other video. The problem with this is that since there was a whole boom let's say like that, in Mexico City, of buying properties and stuff that was around the 2010s and 2000s, a lot of people started getting to the Airbnb game, let's call it like that, especially in two colonies, they're called colonies, but let's say districts for you all to understand it easier, in two districts in Mexico City, one of them called Condesa and the other one called La Roma. These are very posh, hipstery neighborhoods, they always were, but because of the, you know, like I said, because of a lot of people getting into the Airbnb game, these places started getting into more, let's say, get more and more business, more and more visits, a lot more tourists started staying, and this caused gentrification. Now, what is gentrification? Well, as defined as the dictionary says, it's basically when in a district, let's say, prices are raised because of the moving of people looking for better services, that the locals eventually get this, you know, basically displaced from their own home because they cannot keep on paying for rents and services in the same place. Let's say when a poor neighborhood, I wouldn't like to call them poor neighborhoods, but let's say just less advantageous neighborhoods, let's call it like that. When these places start upping the prices of rents, of land taxes, and services, just as like, for example, a restaurant where, I don't know, a meal could have cost you $5, now it costs 12, it completely fucks up people, local people's lives. It's just as easy as that. That's basically what it means, that's basically what it is. Now, as this has been explained, because of the Airbnb boom and because of all of these properties becoming what they are, a lot of North American tourists, both Canadian and American, have been coming to Mexico and starting to make, let's say, their life here. Not any type of tourist, but what are called digital nomads. Now, digital nomads are one of the biggest travelers in the world, next to the backpacking community. And sometimes backpackers are digital nomads. What is a digital nomad? It's someone that basically can work using a laptop no matter where, giving them the chance and the freedom to go everywhere, basically being able to live for 3 months in, let's say, Bali, 3 months in Europe, another 3 months in Mexico, another 3 months in Colombia, because they don't really require a desk. They just need to adjust their schedule and they can work perfectly. Now, I have to be very honest, that is my dream job. I've been working through that. The whole point of this podcast and YouTube is for me to be able to finally leave my job and be able to keep on traveling like before. So, in a way, I want you to understand that I am not going to shit on these people. I understand the freedom that this gives and the temptation of going around. It makes a lot of sense that you would travel. It makes so much sense. It's just an amazing opportunity. So, you know, if you're a remote worker and you're listening to this, trying to find out what would a local think of it, I want you to, first of all, understand one thing, which is, there's no xenophobia here. You want to travel to Mexico, please go ahead. You're more than welcome. We're a very nice country. There's a lot of things to see. That would be that. Continuing, the problem with this is that because of all these people coming here and being able to pay an Airbnb for 3 months in Mexico, and obviously because these people get paid in USD or CAD, with this being United, you know, American dollars or Canadian dollars, for them paying a rent in Mexico City is basically like buying chewing gum. I don't know how to put it better. It's so cheap. It's extremely cheap. I mean, I've checked the prices since living in Canada and everything. I've noticed that it is very easy to pay a 6 month rent in advance in Mexico City, in any of these two colonies, in any of these two districts, and you wouldn't even really break a sweat. So it's very easy for these people to come, get a rent going, without having to do any of the contracts or any of the paperwork that actually conveys in getting an apartment in Mexico. Which, by the way, I would like to comment that getting a rent, like getting just a rent contract in Mexico City, is one of the most difficult and annoying fucking things I've seen. Just by the quantity of things they ask you for. And I want to point out again, for most locals, they would tell you, no, it's not, you just need to do this, this, and that. Yeah, but I'm comparing it to, for example, here in Canada, where I just had to show up, tell them that I was an immigrant, wanted to start my life here, and they basically told me like, oh, don't worry, then you don't need to do almost all the stuff that a normal Canadian would do. And then when I talk to Canadians here, again, it's not that difficult. They just check the credit and that's it. And they don't really do like an extremely good back credit backup check, honestly. Well, not in Quebec. I don't know about the rest of Canada, but I can tell you that in Quebec, it's not like that. Anywho, point is, this is basically the phenomenon that's happening. Now, what is this causing? Well, first of all, a lot of the businesses have noticed that there's a lot of Americans and Canadians coming, also Europeans coming into these districts and being able to pay exorbitant prices, because for them it's nothing. Well, everything has been going up. Rents, taxes, services, everything. And I mean up as in extremely expensive for a Mexican salary. You need to understand that the Mexican minimum wage is extremely low. By the end of this recording, I have checked it and it's not even $7 a day. It's a little bit less than that. So you can imagine how much paying a rent that is about $1,000 Canadian for say something, or in this case, 900 USD, is almost impossible for one person in Mexico to do. In these two districts, obviously around the city, there is cheaper places. But you need to understand that gentrification affects everyone. It's not only these two districts. It's mainly Roma and Condesa, but it's slowly getting into everywhere in the city. Now, a lot of remote workers have been coming to Mexico for different reasons. Could be, like I explained before, the prices are extremely low. Could be because they're trying to avoid taxes in their own country and they prefer to live without paying any tax in Mexico City, which they normally do when they do remote work. Or three, because of the COVID pandemic we're living right now, Mexico City doesn't have as harsh as punishments for people that do not follow the protocols, well, you know, safety protocols and cleaning and hygiene protocols for this pandemic. Therefore, they prefer to just stay in the city and, well, basically don't put on a fucking mask. Which is annoying because this might come as a surprise for you, but everyone in Mexico is actually wearing a mask. We don't have that much of a problem with that mandate. And it has been one of the harshest things that the government has, let's say, I wouldn't say it's not compulsory, but it's one of the rules that they have stated, as in please wear a mask as much as you can. And almost the public has also started using it as a social rule. Wherever you are, you need to be wearing a mask, no matter if you're outside or inside. The moment you leave your house, you are wearing a mask. And there is a lot of, they check your temperature in every single business you arrive. Either if you're gonna just get tacos or you're gonna go eat somewhere very fancy, you would need to be wearing a mask, check your temperature, wash your hands, and even clean your shoes. They have special masks that are made to disinfect your shoes. This is the basic protocol that Mexico is working with. Well, remote workers tend to think that this is not that much. And honestly, it is not that bad. Compared to the price that you need to pay, for example, here in Canada, if you're not wearing a mask, I think you need to pay some type of extremely big fine. So you can imagine why people come. Now, what is the whole problem with this? Again, they're coming here as there is a gentrification stuff, but most of these people don't pay taxes. And because they don't pay taxes, there's not much money that is coming into Mexico. They go with like, yes, these people, they're, you know, spending their money in businesses, in small restaurants, and in Airbnb, so we're getting dollars out of them. Yeah, but it's a very small percentage of the population that gets these dollars. Talking like basically the business owners, not the country, not the whole, no one else gets, let's say, apart from it. This is the part of the podcast where I would tell you, well, that is pretty high and mighty coming from a Mexican, right? Everyone would say, oh, but you people have been coming illegally to America for years, and most of people living in America or in Canada, they're illegally there. Okay. I'd like to debunk that real fast. Okay, first of all, into Canada, there's not much of illegal immigration, because to get to Canada, you need to get there by plane. No one is fucking swimming all the way to Canada, I can assure you that. So
Most of the legal immigrants that are here are coming by plane, and most of them have a way to sustain themselves. When it comes especially to Mexicans, we are not the biggest group of illegal immigrants here. We're actually only, I think it's 15% of illegal immigrants are Mexican. That's not a lot. Now, if we go to America, there is a bigger percentage. Apparently, and these are very old numbers that I found, because apparently there hasn't been a new check, I'm guessing because of COVID and stuff, it's no more than 40%. Now, same thing applies. A lot of the Mexicans that stay there stay a little bit longer than their normal visa. It's not really people crossing the desert or stuff like that. It still happens, but it's not, you know, it's not the average. Here's where it gets funny. From the Americans that come to Mexico, more than 90% of them violate their tourist visa. We don't really ask them for a visa, but we give them an special amount of time they can be here. Normally, when they arrive into the airport, you are given a card telling you how many days you're supposed to be here. Well, 90% of Americans have been known to pass that date and don't care, because the Mexican government doesn't really have a register of them, because we don't ask for visas as Americans do. Therefore, we can't really punish them. They just stay more and that's it. There is sometimes a moment where, let's say, the customs officer will take the number, and therefore it would be easier to find. It would be easier for us to punish them, but we won't. And I mean, at the end of the day, you gotta understand, this is Mexico. We have bigger problems than Americans staying illegally. Now, the problem with Americans staying illegally is that because they come with dollars and they come with a lot more money than an illegal immigrant from Mexico comes there, they can buy property, they can start a business, they can start a lot of stuff that at the end of the day is not paying taxes, and it ends up gentrifying neighborhoods and making stuff difficult. There is a case in which in Los Cabos, there's a full camp of Americans that stay there for around 7 to 8 months, which is, by the immigration laws in Mexico, illegal. Normally, you only have from 3 to 6 months to stay there, to stay in Mexico legally. And this is counting that you didn't get the little sheet of paper that I was talking about when you go into the airport. Sometimes it can be even, they can even just cut you short with 52 days. You're supposed to only stay 52 days. Again, when you leave the country, you're supposed to show it. Most Americans don't. So, you know, this is a little fun part, that is that, you know, the hypocrisy of telling us to go back to our country and we telling them to go back to their country. It is, in a way, I would say, funny. But there is a big difference when you immigrate having absolutely nothing than when you immigrate trying to avoid taxes and with a shit ton of money. It's just not the same. But it's the same concept, different formula. It's not correct. Now, because of this, it has sparked a big debate amongst Mexicans that we're being, you know, two-faced, we're being wrong. Because we still, in a way, immigrate illegally into the United States. So why are we not allowing them to come? As I said, the problems that they're causing are a little bit more complicated. There's no such thing as they're stealing your jobs, because again, they're coming with a job here. They're just not paying taxes and demanding for better services. Most problems that have been recorded is from Americans asking for service people to speak English in areas of the country that are not really touristic, or places where people just won't speak English. You need to understand that at the end of the day, our most spoken language is Spanish, and people are not making even the effort to learn basic stuff, as in, ¿dónde está el baño?, ¿qué quiero comer?, buenos días, which are very common words to know. Not a lot of Americans do. And by not a lot, I mean, again, 90%. Counting the numbers, I'm sure you maybe are one of those good ones, like they used to call us, you know, like, oh, you're one of the good ones. But again, I'm just giving you numbers here. By no means I'm generalizing that it's all people that come. Just to clarify, once again, this has caused a lot of problems in the community, and everyone's divided with their opinion on their stuff. I would say there's pros and cons to everything. When we're going to pros, again, the Airbnb market has expanded. There's a lot more competition there. So it's something that you can, let's say, start with. There's something you can invest. The problem is that buying property in Mexico is not cheap and is not easy either. The process that comes with buying stuff gets a little complicated. There's a lot of paperwork and a lot of things you need to fill. And this is where, let's say, racism and discrimination starts. Because when people come from America or Canada, the moment they see they are white, they're Canadian, they're American, they have money, one of all of this or all of the above, Mexicans would see this as an opportunity to get their product out. So they will bypass the laws, let them buy, and get rid of the property. Now, this is entirely Mexican fault. The fact that they're jumping through the laws and making this is also causing the problem. So by no means, this is a one-way problem. But it's not the same amount of guilt, I would say it like that. In my opinion, Mexicans are bypassing the laws to sell the product. Normally it's because they really need to sell it. There's no other way to sustain yourself in Mexico. Now, if you have properties and you're selling them and you're Mexican, there's a big chance that you're also certain you have a certain amount of privilege for you to be doing this. Or you could have been one of the, let's say, few that actually worked to get these properties out, and because of the gentrification you cannot maintain them and keep on renting them to the normal locals, therefore it's easier to just sell it. As I'm saying, it's a very complicated issue that it's very difficult to pin in one of both sides. I believe it's both sides, but I do believe that the North American side has at least a 70% amount of fault in here. Again, because there's a big difference in our salaries and a big difference in our motives. That being said, another one of the pros is that at certain amount of time, in a certain amount of time, Mexico will become a little bit more, you know, cosmopolitan, as they're calling it. Just because, as in most tweets that I've read, because more people are learning English. As glad as I am by people learning more languages, they seem to forget that Mexico is already a multinational and pluricultural country. What do I mean? There's multiple nations of indigenous people that already speak different languages, as it is Nahuatl, Nahuatl de la Huasteca, Maya, Mixe, Triqui, amongst others. Therefore, Mexico already has a cosmopolitan environment, especially Mexico City, where most of the indigenous peoples that live close come to live, work, or sell their products. Therefore, that is a little bit of a phenomenon that we call in Mexico called malinchismo, which is, let's say, a special discrimination to our own. We prefer the white, American, English kind of thing instead of our own. A very sad problem, but again, topic for another podcast. Those two would be the only things that I would find as a pro. What I find as a con: property going up in value, being almost impossible for Mexicans to buy. Services being literally unable to provide their care or their service, no pun intended, to the local population. Prices in everything going up, as in products, restaurants, cafes, everything. Rent being impossible to pay, taxes not being paid by the people that are there and not actually helping the country, amongst other stuff. I believe those are the five bigger issues to, let's say, the five bigger issues at hand. It is very difficult to try to see this situation in a, you know, in a great light, because I'm in a very funny position. I don't really live in Mexico anymore. For a long time, I haven't lived there, but I'm still pretty connected to everything that happens there. It's my home country. It's my mother and fatherland. I came from it. And every single day when I work outside, in a way, I try to do it to make my country proud. I want to go back eventually when I have the means to do it. But wouldn't that be also gentrification, since I'm making and taking money from there? You see, it's a very complicated issue. At the end of the day, I do want to go back. I do want to buy property. I do want to grow old in my land. But I need to do it by the legal way, as hard as it's going to be, because I understand the problems that it causes. Because of this, I'm, let's say, in a little bit of both sides. From the remote working, not in the both sides as in a Canadian-American. I'm not any of those things. You can ask Canadian immigration. They have been very keen in making my life impossible when it comes to immigrating. So, pretty sure I'm never going to be any of both. But because I'm in both sides, it's a little complicated, but I am obviously more partially biased for the Mexican one. So it's complicated to give an opinion that, let's say, it's in a gray area. So I'm hoping that with this opinion you can understand that these are my views and my views only. I try to do as more research as I could. Actually, I had to do this podcast 4 times because I kept on getting information from different people, kept on bombarding me with stuff. I got some texts from people that are actually suffering from being displaced from their homes because they cannot pay anymore. As I also got remote workers that I've known in all my travels telling me like, oh, but it's an amazing country, we would like to do it. So it's a little complicated. Therefore, I would like you to understand that this is my opinion as best as I can. In no means I'm trying to say that this is the absolute truth or that this is a solution for everything. My opinion is, before you come to a country to remote work, please make sure you understand the problematics of said country. It is amazingly fun to be a tourist. It is amazingly fun to be a backpacker and to go around the world. No one in the world knows that better than me. If anything, I die every day that I have to stay here and I can't keep on traveling. Those 2 months I spent in Mexico were the best 2 months of these 2 shitty years we have all shared and lived together. However, you really, really, really need to pay attention to the problematics of the country. You really need to try and connect with the culture. You really try to understand the locals. If you're only going because the place looks nice and it's magical, then you might as well stay in your country, because I'm pretty sure there's also magical shit there. It makes no sense. You need to understand what you're gonna be doing. Airbnb is still, at the end of the day, kind of having like a landlord. And there's, as much as I could understand this, a landlord in an Airbnb is not gonna do the amount of work that an actual landlord in Mexico does. Therefore, you're just enriching a very tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of the population that I can assure you do not have at any point the well-being of the country in their goals or the well-being of other people. So again, if you believe that you're coming to Mexico just because it's a magical land and you're gonna stay this much, break our laws, stay as much as you want just to do everything you're not supposed to be doing in your country, then please stay in your own. We do not need more chaos. We already have enough. There's even a saying in my country, which is one of the famous, I would say it's one of the funniest one, which is Mexico is very far away from God, but very close to the United States. As a way of saying, we suffer enough, please don't come and bring it here. That being said, if you are planning to come, I would advise you to not stay in an Airbnb. I would advise you to check hostels, because these are places that pay tax. These are places that are working in Mexico, and therefore you will be helping someone. It is cheaper than staying in a hotel and sometimes even than an Airbnb. If you value your privacy and you cannot fathom the idea of staying in a hostel, look for a room. There's a lot of places that rent rooms, especially for remote workers. Again, this being a business that actually needs to file a tax form. It makes sense. You would say Airbnbs pay taxes, yes, but again, you're mostly helping one person. If you're doing into a place that rents rooms or a hostel, there's a whole group of employees that actually benefit from you being there. Also, you get to know more locals, you get to know more the people that are there, and your connection to the place is gonna be way easier. If you can couch surf, that's also an option. Now, couch surfing, it's sure that not a lot of people are gonna be open to keeping you around for 3 months, but you can move around, you can try to do hostel couch surfing, you know, mix it up. Now, you're probably saying, Solano, that sounds extremely tiring and I don't wanna do that. I might as well just come back to my own home and go into an Airbnb. Why can't I do this? Again, go ahead, you can do it. Just know that you're being a prick if you do. Again, my opinion, mate, there's a lot of stuff that you can do in Mexico to help out the economy. Again, rooms for rent, hostels. You can even, much hostels actually, because Mexico is one of the countries that we love haggling. You can just go to a hostel, pay for the first week and then tell them like, hey, listen, I want to stay here as much as I can. How about you give me a deal and this and that? Again, we do love haggling. We will give you a discount. We will give you some type of, you know, package. There, something is going to be awarded. And if not, they might even just invite you and go like, you know what? I know this maid that is renting a room. You can go there. Or you know what? My, you know, my daughter or something is like doing couch surfing. Why don't you stay there while we think about it? There's a lot of stuff to do. Or even, don't stay just in Mexico City. Go around. Another solution would be to maybe try to remote work in another area. There's a lot of provinces around Mexico that have Airbnbs that are, let's say, just beginning. In colonies that are not gentrified enough for you to actually cause an impact. That being said, that is a little hypocritical for me. I understand, yes, because I'm telling you basically to gentrify somewhere else. In a way, I'm just trying to see it as a realistic solution. I understand that telling people not to come to a country is wrong. So this is the best things I can think of. You need to understand what this causes. If you can go somewhere else or you can move around the country, first of all, you're gonna really thank me if you move around the country. There's so much stuff. We have 32 states, provinces, however you wanna call them, with different types of culture each one. This is basically the equivalent of backpacking through Europe, and every time you get to a country, you see different types of stuff. It's the same thing in Mexico. I can assure you, nothing is the same in Mexico City as it is in Jalisco, as it is in Colima, as it is in Sonora, as it is in Mérida. Everything is different. It's different countries, different places. You will love it. Go ahead and try it out. This is way better than, again, arriving to Roma or Condesa. You would have 1,000 times love it more. That would have been my solution. In a way, I believe it's a nice way to start. As I've said, this is kind of a difficult issue. And as much as I wrote a script about it and as much as I did all the research, I can tell you that it was very difficult to come up with something because, again, I have mixed feelings about this. I want to keep on traveling and I want to go around. I would love to be able to remote work, and I've been trying my ass off to find a job that will accept me with this. Because of my qualifications, it's difficult, but again, story for another day. I also understand that living wages are very low in Mexico. Finding a home or being able to rent is almost impossible at this point, and it's all cost because of remote workers bending the rules to their will. There is no specific person at fault. Mexico is not imposing the rules correctly. Americans are taking advantage of that. Canadians too. Europeans the same. It's a very gray and difficult problem to explain, let's say it like that. And even more difficult to try to be funny about it. I can tell you what, I did write a couple jokes, but at the end of the day I went, nah, I think this is something that I need to address a little bit more serious like. I would like to also point out that in all this podcast and video, I did say mostly American Canadians. Why did I say mostly Americans? Because the tweet was made by an American girl. And I did say only American Canadians at some point because it's mostly them who we'd had problems with in, you know, the immigration and external relationship system. It is a very difficult issue when you try to compare illegal immigration from Mexico to illegal immigration to Mexico. You need to understand also the point that all of these people that are coming are getting a special treatment, like I already said, because they're bringing dollars. There's a lot of illegal immigration that comes to Mexico from Central America, and the Mexican authorities are less than nice to them. I can assure you, we do not get to the levels of ICE in the US. You people are fucking nuts. But we do something that also makes me feel a little, you know, it gets me a little bit from time to time. We really are not that nice either. So, in a way, you know, karma comes back. I don't know how to point it out a little bit better. Mexico does need a change. Mexico needs help from everyone, locals and, you know, expats. So, I hope you don't let these words, you know, fall in deaf ears. I hope you understand what I'm trying to convey here. We are one world, we all live in the same planet, we should at the end of the day try to help each other. So, if you took anything from this, try to find a solution for yourself, something that helps the country, and do try to connect with us. The country is not the infrastructure, it's not the pyramids, it's not the, you know, the freaking paintings or the nice streets. The country is its people. And we're there to help, we're there to be friends. We are a very, very happy population. So connect with us and we will connect with you. I can assure you that 100%. So I hope you take this to heart and I hope it helps you out. Any other remote workers that are going to Mexico, like I said, please do go ahead, but be mindful of what you're doing. As always, this has been a complete and absolute pleasure. I hope you stick around. More content is going to be coming soon now that I'm back. Mexico was amazing, I can tell you that. And I loved it so damn much. You're going to love the content I have. If anything, if you do remote work and you start checking out my videos, maybe you're going to find places in Mexico you want to see. Just saying, you know, business strategy. Gotta get some money out of this. Make sure to subscribe, notify everything you need to do. You know, little bell, everything is downstairs. Downstairs, down the video. You gotta understand me, I just had one coughing all day. Subscribe, share, like, please leave a comment. Tell me if you have any opinion on this. What do you think Mexico should be doing? What do you think expats need to be doing? What's a nice solution? Please go ahead, leave it downstairs. Try to be civil. I know this is the internet, it's a free-for-all, but you know, we're all nice and kind and spread the good vibes, it's easier to understand each other. So go ahead, comments down below, like, share, and I'll see you around the next time. Oh, by the way, yeah, this is a great joke that I saw. Okay, so this one is for my Mexicans. You're probably gonna get it, you know, give a nighttime stroll down to Tepito. This guy, oh man, crack me up. Wait, ni Hitler se atrevía tanto, hijos de la verga. This guy is a fucking... Great joke, blood. Great joke. Hope you had fun.